Before I begin, I want to say something. I always pray that the Lord will lead me in what I'm going to preach. And I really believe He's led me today in this message. But I want to ask you not to shoot the messenger. I suspect some of you may struggle with some of the things I am planning to say today. But I believe God wants me to say them, so I'm going to. Here we go. According to Matthew and Mark, John the Baptist and Jesus started their teaching ministry the same way. They said, repent. What does that word mean? Well, if you go to the dictionary and you read about repenting, this is what it says. To repent means to feel deep sorrow or remorse for a past action or a sin or a fault, typically accompanied by a resolve to change one's behavior for the better. End quote. Simply put, that means you feel sorry for your sins and you quit doing them. But that is not what the Greek word repent means in the Bible. It has a different level. The Greek word for repent is metanoia. Metanoia. And that does not mean to feel sorry. It literally means to change your mind. And there is a big difference between changing your mind and feeling badly about something. It takes a lot more out of me and you to change our minds. Have you ever heard the expression, he is set in his ways? I'm sure you have heard it. And it's not just he's that refers to. It's all people can be set in their ways. And I imagine you've encountered people like that in your life. Let me probe a little. Does any of that describe you? Are you set in your ways? Well, it does apply to you if what I'm about to read applies to you. Set in his ways describes a person with deeply ingrained habits, behaviors, or opinions, who is unwilling to change or adapt to new methods. This idiom often implies stubbornness and inflexibility and is frequently used to describe people who have followed the same routine for many years. I didn't like hearing any of that, did you? But I especially do not like what follows. Listen to what follows. It is often associated with aging. Oh. While anyone can be inflexible, the phrase is commonly applied to older individuals who have long-standing habits leading to their being stubborn and hard-headed. End quote. Yeah, I know. There's some really strong words in there. But you know what? They are fairly accurate, and they describe just about all of us. We are creatures of habit. I are a creature of habit. You are a creature of habit. We have ingrained behavior. We have opinions. Now let's get back to John the Baptist and Jesus. They both began by pointing their finger at us and saying, change your mind. Change your mind. Change your way of thinking. Change your routines. Change, change, change. But Harry, I hate change. Yes, I know. I know. I know all about that. But Jesus, in essence, said, get over it. Now, we could apply this in countless ways, couldn't we? We could just have a field day with this. But let me continue to probe a little bit. We Christians have a common expression that we use all the time. We say, I'm going to church. What does that mean? That means that you physically leave your home and you travel to a building somewhere for a service. In our case, it means you leave your home and you travel to a golf resort for a service. And when does that apply? Usually Sunday mornings. For us, only Sunday mornings. And why? Well, that's a good question. Why do you come here each week? Why? Now, I may not be talking about any of you with what I'm about to share, but just in case, please don't stop listening to me. For too many Christians, the reason that they come to church is to see their friends. And for them, that's basically it. It's a social gathering. Remember, I said I might not be talking about anyone here, but if the shoe fits. And another common reason that some people come to church is to hear a sermon. They just tolerate all the rest of the stuff, you know, the music and the readings and the prayers and all this stuff. Just get through that. I came to hear the sermon. Another reason common reason some people go to church is because they love the music. They take a nap during the sermon, sometimes with their eyes wide open. I'm watching you. And another common reason that some people go out to church is because they want to go out to lunch afterwards with their friends. Now, if any of that sounds cynical, I do not apologize, because it is painfully true of many people. It describes habitual routines and a mindset. And if any of those descriptions are true, then those people need to repent in the sense of changing their mind and why they come to this gathering together. Brothers and sisters, seeing your friends and hearing a sermon or enjoying the music are all good things. They can even be spiritual things. They can be acts of worship. They're important, positive. But what our thinking should be is why we come here is to worship our Lord. That's why. This is not a church service. This is a worship service. We are not gathering here to church. We are gathering here to worship. Can you imagine Debbie or me or anyone standing up here and saying, "Let us church God together"? The church is the people. We are the church. Right? We're not here to worship ourselves. We're not here to worship music. We're not here because of a sermon. We're not here because of a preacher. We're here because of God, Almighty God. So if you need to, repent. Change your way of thinking about any of that. Changing your way of thinking is the first step to changing your behavior. Right? Now, here are some thoughts that came to my mind. When we come together here to worship, God says to us in His Word that we are to pray to Him. Have you ever left all the praying to other people? Have you just let the people around you do the praying, the other people up front doing the praying, but you didn't really pray? Repent. God also said, when you come to me and you worship me, sing to me. Have you ever been guilty of just letting other people do all the singing and just wait it out? Or the people up front to do all the singing? Repent. It doesn't matter whether you sing well or not. Sing. Here's one some of you aren't going to like. But God's word says, when you come to worship me, raise your hands. And if you were here, we went through a series once about the various words of praise in the Bible. And one of the words for praise literally means raise your hands. We have a psalm that says, raise your hands to me, blah, blah, blah. Raise your hands to me, blah, blah, blah. And so most of us do that. But some people refuse to raise their hands to God. But God says, raise your hands. It's a routine. It's a mindset. It's an opinion. And you're not willing to change. Don't shoot the messenger. God said that we gather together, we're to bring an offering to him. And there is biblical evidence that says that every time we come together, each time we come together to worship God, we should bring an offering to him. There is no commandment in the Bible that we should do it each and every Lord's Day, but that is exactly what seems to be implied by the things that God says in his word. Now, for some people, for some Christians, they give according to their mind. And here's what I mean. They may not even realize that this is what is in their mind, but they treat the offering the same way that they treat a monthly bill. Their thinking is that the purpose of this monthly bill is to fund the needs of the church. Well, it is, but it's far more than that. It's an act of worship before God. It's a response of the heart to God. I can't imagine being a person who doesn't put something in that plate and then it's brought forward and you stand up and you sing the doxology to God, but everybody else has brought the offering and you have it. I just can't imagine doing that. I am convicted. In fact, I had to change my mind on this subject because I used to write one check a month. It's easier. I don't think that's what God likes. I think he wants us to put something in that plate every time we come into his presence. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm telling you what God's convicted me to say. Now, confession. I started to leave all that out because it's a well-known fact that people do not like to hear the pastor talk about money. They'll accept a message from me on morality, on greed, on selfishness, on praise and worship, or whatever, but just don't rattle anybody's cage when it comes to their money. Well, it's too late. I have stepped in it. So there. And like the rest of us, fingers are pointing back to me, everything that I'm sharing with you. Here is the important thing, brothers and sisters. You and I need to examine our minds. We need to examine our way of thinking, our hearts, our habits, our attitudes on all of those things that I mentioned and far more. And then we need to ask God to reveal to us through his Holy Spirit what is pleasing to him. It's not what pleases me. It's not what pleases you. What pleases him. That is worship. That is true worship. And then if needed, we need to change our mind and repent. Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul said this in Romans 8:5. He said, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds on things of the Spirit. And Paul said it practically the same thing in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. He said, set your minds on things above. Set your minds on things above, brothers and sisters, not on things of earth. Now, let's take a moment and think about who said that, Paul. If there was ever a biblical example of a man set in his ways, it was Paul. Paul was a terrorist. He hated Christians. He would storm into a Christian's home and take them captive, take them out into the street and have them publicly beaten, and then he would drag them into a filthy dungeon, and then he would drag them into court for a trial, and then he would drag them out in the streets to be slaughtered in front of everyone. He hated Christians. But then something really dramatic happened in Paul's life on the road to Damascus. He's on his way to persecute some more Christians, and Jesus comes in a bright light, and it blinded Paul, and you know the rest of it. He changed his mind big time. He repented big time. He became an entirely different person. Now, that story of Paul's pretty dramatic, but let me ask you this. Do you need for Jesus to meet you on the road somewhere and blind you and dramatically change your life because you're so stubborn and set in your ways, you're not willing to listen to him? If there's anything in my life that displeases him, I want to fix it. And if it means he has to interrupt my life, so be it. Oh, I pray that all of you have that attitude. All of you willing to receive from him whatever he wants. And by the way, he could do that, you know. He could do that before you get home today. He might have to shake us up a little bit sometimes. We've been talking about our way of thinking about our worship services here together and what we do during our worship services. Let's extend that just a little bit. Let's talk about our way of thinking about what we do after the worship service. Now, I cannot read your minds, and I thank God that you can't read mine either. But I'm going to take a stab at what I think may be the thought pattern of many people in this room and other rooms we're gathered today about what happens next. The first one that came to my mind is food. I've already thought about the food that I'm going to eat after the service today. Another one could be sports, because TV is full of sports on Sunday afternoon. And for some people, they plan Sunday afternoon around the TV to watch sports. Or maybe it's a nap. Praise God for naps. I'm sure there's lots of other routines and things we think about. And of course, Sunday is Sabbath. It's supposed to be a day of rest. Absolutely no problem in that. But you know what? When we come here to worship, it's just 1 hour. There are 168 hours in the week. What do you do after this hour during the other 167 hours? Well, think about it. And I'm going to read now Psalm 34, verse 1. I will extol the Lord at all times. Is that the way you think? I confess, I haven't thought that way. But that's what the psalm says. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Oh, that's an ideal, but that is a goal. That is a goal. Do you think that way? Or do you only think about praise and worship as being a Sunday morning thing? If you do, you need to repent. You need to change your way of thinking. Now, that verse was from the Old Testament. Here's something from the New Testament. This is Romans chapter 12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've heard that, right? You've heard that. Are you willing to renew your mind? Are you willing to have it renewed? That means repent. Then it goes on. It says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God wants worship to be a lifestyle, not a Sunday morning event. I wondered how to best summarize this and bring it to a close. And I prayed that God would give me guidance on that. And you know what? Within seconds, he led me to this scripture. This is Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 17. Listen. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that was in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Another way to describe that is they were set in their ways. He goes on, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. And they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. There it is. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. May God open that word to each and every one of us and help us. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray that you will cause each and every one of us now to examine ourselves, maybe even before the sun goes down today, Lord, to examine our thoughts and our attitudes and our actions. And I pray that you will reveal to us, Lord, anything that we may need to change in order to please you and to honor your word. And Father, we ask this because we love you. We love you. And may this soul searching, Lord, be another act of worship and adoration to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.